Hi, this is Leo Laporte. It's time for Hands on Mac. Today we dive deep into the Macintosh file system. Hands on Mac comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remotely. Visit LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands on Mac is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/HOM. Hey, everybody, it's time for Hands on Mac, and today we're going to take a little bit of a look at how the Mac hard drive is organized. And this was all stimulated by an Ask the Tech Guy question from earlier this week. She had Apple's Photos app and was wondering where the original photos lived. And just to, I'll give you a little recap, because it isn't immediately obvious, but it's important to show Apple's kind of unusual way Apple handles files. It turns out that the iPhotos, or actually I guess these days you call it Photos Library, which looks like a single icon and you might assume was a single file, isn't. This is the case for a lot of Macintosh applications and in some cases libraries. And the easiest way to see what's inside this, it's really not a single monolithic file, it's a folder, is to right-click on the icon and show package contents. And what you'll actually see is that iPhotos library icon doesn't hide a single file. It hides many, many files, including this originals folder where all of the original photos in my photos library live. Now, it's a little disorganized. You can see Apple's decided, just as they do with iTunes, to put these in different folders with different file names. That makes it a little bit difficult. So I recommended that it'd be probably better for her to use the export function in Apple's Photos. But I thought it was interesting to be able to actually dive down deep into it. And in fact, if you look at an application, any application, we'll look at Apple's own App Store application and show package contents. Again, inside that what looks like a single icon, a single monolithic file, it's not an EXE file as you would find on a Windows machine. It's all of it. And that's one of the reasons it's easy to uninstall programs on the Macintosh. You can just drag that application, well, it turns out it's a folder, into the trash and everything will be gone. There's a lot of stuff in here, including there's the app. It doesn't have a very interesting icon. In fact, it just says exec, but that's the actual App Store app in the Mac OS folder. But there's lots more other stuff stored away there, including, by the way, the icons that are used. They're stored in the ICNS file. So that's how it got me started thinking a little bit about, well, the Mac has a kind of a different organization. If you're using iOS, Apple completely hides all this, even though it has a very similar file organization to what you see on the Macintosh. So I'll put a link in our show notes to an Apple document. It's a developer document, so it's a little, you know, hardcore, that describes all of these locations for both iOS and Macintosh. But I can give you a little tour right now, which is kind of fun. So let's go back to the Mac. And one thing that's kind of nice to know, I've got a Finder window open here. If you command click or right click on the name of the window, in this case it we're in the contents folder, if you right click on it, you can see the trail all the way back, the what they call breadcrumbs, all the way back to the very top level, Leo's iMac. This is the hard drive in the iMac. And actually within that, Leo's Mac, actually, is not the hard drive. It's everything the computer knows about. There's two folders. There's a network folder, which shows network connectable devices. In this case, John's MacBook Pro. And then in the Leoville folder, that's the hard drive. Leoville's the hard drive. On your computer, it probably says Macintosh hard disk. I always rename mine. And it's harmless to rename it. Apple doesn't care what the names of things are. It has a better way of identifying files. It's a little more hidden away. Inside this Leoville or Macintosh hard disk, you'll see 4 items, just 4. There's a lot more. Apple's hiding, as it often does, hiding a lot from your eye, mostly because they feel like you shouldn't be prying around inside this stuff. There's the folders you probably already know about. This is the applications folder. This is where most apps go. Although, if I go to the home folder for Leo, and your home folder will be the same way, you'll notice there's also an applications folder there. And sometimes apps are installed there. It's rare, but occasionally you'll install an app for a single user only, and those apps will show up in this other applications folder. It isn't unusual, frankly, on a Macintosh to have duplicate folders. There's also duplicate library folders, and I'll talk about that in a second. So besides applications, where all our applications are installed, and by the way, there's a subfolder to applications where utilities go, things like disk utility, there's also a library folder. Now again, library is an unusual folder because there's a system-wide library folder that's up here at the root of the hard drive, but there's also a user library folder. Each one, each user has, or even each domain has its own library folder. If you're writing apps, you're going to store, in general, you're going to store app-specific or system-specific resources into the library folder. In fact, when you're removing an app and you want to see if there's any other pieces, this is where you'll go, that library folder. And you'll probably want to look at both the system-wide library folder and your user library folder. I'll show you how to get to that in a second. Inside, the most important folder inside the library folder is what's called application support. And this is where applications put additional information, sometimes resources, sometimes settings. So if I go to the Microsoft folder, I can see that Microsoft's auto update lives in here. And in fact, this is the actual application. Of course, count on Microsoft to do things in a non-Apple-y way. Apple's put, for instance, settings for photos, and here's the print products in its library folder. Usually these are not considered files that a user would ever want to go look at, but it's nice to know that that's there if you're trying to remove all traces of an application or figure out what's going on with an application. Sometimes, for instance, if you're using Lightroom, you want to install plugins. Adobe will store those plugins in an Adobe folder in the application support folder. We can look at a few others. Most of these you're not going to mess with. There is one more that is somewhat important to know about, and that's the Launch Daemons folder. These are actually text files. They're plist files that tell the operating system what to launch when you start up. You probably don't want to mess with these. You can do it in the system preference pane, the user's system preference pane instead. But occasionally, you'll have something launching you don't want a live launch. There doesn't seem to be any way to get to it. This is where you would find it. These, the launch agents and launch daemons, are a good place to check if you're trying to figure out why is this starting up every time. There are a few other places to look at. Logs could be very useful. These are diagnostic reports from a variety of different applications. There's the console log that Apple creates. That's for advanced diagnostics and repairs. Sometimes the console logs are useful. There's a lot of other stuff in here. I have a Perl folder, of all things, in my library. Preference panes are in here. And notice, not all of them, not Apple's preference panes, just ones I've installed. That's a common place, by the way. For instance, I have a system preference for OS X Fuse. Now, that's the only place that lives. And you see, I see it down here on my system preferences, as well as this select PDL. If I wanted to get rid of them and I didn't have an installer to remove them, this is where you'd find them, in library preference panes. In fact, they're the two that we saw are I don't even know what these are. I think I might remove those. I'll first investigate before I do. Also, applications can store preferences here. Remember, though, these are system-wide preferences, printers and so forth. It's kind of interesting to look around in here. Apple knows this is a danger zone, so they don't talk about it a lot, but they don't hide it either. I would be careful before you start messing with any of the files in the library folder. There's also a system folder, same suggestions. By the way, notice that applications live both here and in the system folder. These are the system applications folder. These are Apple's applications. There's a driver kit and a variety of other things. Don't mess around too much with them. The most important folder from your point of view, this is where the, at the top level of the hard drive, the users folder is. Now, you'll have to remember that Mac OS is really based on BSD, which is a Unix operating system. And if you've used Linux or any other Unix operating system, you'll recognize this. Slash users, the users folder at the top directory, is where all the user folders go, including my own, because I'm logged in as Leo. It's got a little house on it. This is the Leo folder. This is where that lives. And this is, you'll recognize it, the same thing as if you click Leo or your home folder on the Finder, you're going to get the same exact things. So it's good to know where the where that lives. If you have an issue at some point, you can also see what other users are installed. And while when you delete a user, you're able to delete their folder automatically in the system preferences, you can also do it manually here. So Rich DeMuro has a folder, so whenever he does the Tech Guy show, he can log in. Brew, you notice, has its own folder. There's a Brew user. We talked about Brew a few episodes ago. There's also shared resources folder. Now, these aren't all the folders in the top level. To see more, and this is where Unix or Linux users will feel pretty comfortable, we can change directory, CD, I'm here in the terminal now, to slash, that's the root level. And if I list all of the folders in the root level, you'll see the ones we just talked about, applications, library, users, but you'll also see more. You'll see volumes and bin and cores and dev, etc, and home and opt. These... Actually, home we already saw, but these are, for Linux users, very familiar names. Wouldn't suggest you mess with these particularly, but you can, you know, browse around harmlessly just to see what's in there. The home directory is, of course, the same as the home directory in the Finder. Oh, this is interesting. Lately, with Mac OS, they've made it harder and harder. In fact, we can see this if I list the permissions, that some of these you can't actually list from the system, from the terminal, because they're protected. If you're smart enough to get in here, you're probably smart enough to figure out how to get access to those, but we won't do that for right now. So Apple shows you the stuff that is sufficient for you to use the system. But just remember, there's a lot more there than just the stuff you see. Now, let's go back to my home folder and look and see, is there a library folder here? No, there's not, unless I go up to the Go menu item and I hit the Option key. Watch what happens. Oh, library pops up. This is another way Apple... security through obscurity, hides stuff it doesn't want you messing with. If you hit the Option key, then you can go to your own library folder. And you'll see this is very analogous to the library folder we just saw at the top level for all users, but this is specific to you. So here's where you'll see additional information like application support. There are two of these, one with a space, one not. There, one is an alias to the other. That's for... legacy purposes to support older versions of the operating system. Either one is, they're the same folder. You'll see other folders. In fact, applications may have created folders here in your personal library. It's good to be able to look at these because some of these things are you may need to get into at some point. Next week, we're going to talk about fonts. This is where all your fonts live. Fonts are local to each user. So these are the actual font files. That's where they're hidden away. In my user directory, in that hidden library folder, fonts. There's a lot of stuff in here. And this is another important area on the Macintosh to know about when it comes to troubleshooting. But please be careful if you're not familiar with this stuff. Start by browsing around and looking, because you'll learn a lot about where Apple stores stuff. This is a very useful folder. There are other important folders that users have. It's probably good to know about these. As I mentioned, there's a local applications folder that's just for that particular user. This is where your desktop folder lives. You know, when you leave an icon on your desktop, it's actually in a folder, and it's right here under your home folder, desktop. the documents folder you're already familiar with. If it's not in your sidebar, you can drag it from here to your sidebar to add it. I have a few of my own, but there's downloads, Dropbox. I have a few special folders like dot files and Git that I use when I'm on the command line. Here's your Google Drive. Here's where your movies and your music live. All of this is under your home folder. There are a few you might not be used to. There's one I don't have. If you have a web server running on your system, you'll have a sites folder. That's where the websites that you're serving live. You'll also have a public folder. And then this is a kind of important folder. It contains contents you want to share with other people. You can make that public folder available with file sharing. Don't do that unless you know exactly what you're doing. It's potentially a little bit risky. In my case, there's nothing in my public folder. But if, you know, we've used this, for instance, when we were on the Mac Mania cruise, we would turn on file sharing, put stuff in our public folder. Other people could then access our computer. Remember when I saw John's computer on the network? In fact, let's go see if John has anything on the network that's in his public folder. I'd have to log in. And you see, he's set it up properly so that I have to have a login to connect. And if I had the login, I could then log into his folder and perhaps see what's in his public folder. You can connect as a guest or registered user or using an Apple ID. We'll see if he's left guest access on. And he has not. Good man, John. If you ever stay in a hotel or you're on a shared network at a coffee shop or an open Wi-Fi access point, it's fun. Again, right-click on the top of the Finder window and go all the way to the top level, which is your computer itself. You'll see your hard drive there, but you also see networks. You'll see a list here of other people's shared resources. Sometimes it's interesting to browse around. You never know what you're going to see. Well, for instance, this Twitbox apparently has some public stuff available to it. So that's that we actually do that so editors and others can get to shared resources. Notice I didn't need a login to see these. You'd have to be on our personal network to see in here. And it's presumed that our users know what they're doing when they put stuff in that folder. So what else? Let's see. Let's go back to my home folder. I think we've mentioned everything you know already about documents, movies, music, pictures. Public and sites are the only two odd ones. The public one is one to keep in mind because if you are file sharing, you want to make sure that only the public folder is available and you only put public stuff in there so that nobody else can see it. The file system is definitely interesting. It's something you don't want to mess with if you don't know what you're doing. If you know how to use a terminal and you're good with Linux or Unix, you'll recognize a lot of things in there. For instance, if I'm in a command line and I want to access a USB drive, that'll be hidden inside the mount folder or the dev folder. That's easy to see. Let's open a terminal. I'll show you real quickly where you would see that. I can type disk utility, which is the command line version of that disk utility that's in your applications folder, and list, and it will list all the devices that are on this computer, including USB external devices. These are the actual, this is the internal drive. But let me plug in a USB key and repeat that command. And now you'll see a new disk, which is a 128 gig USB key. That's stored at /dev/disk2. I could even list the contents of it or operate on this disk from the command line. Well, apparently there's nothing in there. So actually there is. It's just a Windows disk that it can't read. But that's a useful tool to be able to see what's on your disk and to browse around and to see what disks are mounted. You can learn a lot. This is kind of the stuff you would learn from disk utility in a GUI, but I often will use the command line because you can get deeper information on that. And it's very handy if you've added, for instance, if I wanted to, I could use disk utility from the command line to format that /dev/disk2, that USB. Be careful when you're operating at that level. It's very easy to accidentally erase your internal hard drive, so you want to be careful. But I do use the command line to, for instance, create Linux keys or put operating systems on a key or to erase a key or format it, all from the command line, all by listing that. And that's in the /dev folder. So if you're a Linux user or a Unix user, that'll be fairly familiar to you. There's lots more to it. You can see there's really two different versions of the Macintosh file system. There's the one Apple wants you to see and the one that you can see if you know how to use a command line terminal. And both are useful, but be very careful. Don't delete things you don't know what they do because you might get a surprise. Fun to play around with. I think this is one of the things I like most about the Mac is you can dig pretty deep into it. And once you get down below the GUI, the friendly user interface, it really is just a Unix computer. And you could do a lot of the things you would do on any Unix computer directly on your Macintosh. I hope I haven't made this confusing. I just wanted to kind of play with this a little bit so you get a sense of there's more going on beneath the surface than you might imagine. Our show today brought to you by our good friends, ExpressVPN. Did you know that if you're in your browser private mode or incognito mode, it's actually not hiding your activity, even at your house? That's why I always use ExpressVPN, even at home when I go online. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers, encrypting your information using strong encryption. You won't even notice it's on because it's so fast. Protect yourself with the VPN I use and trust. Use my link at expressvpn.com/HOM today. You'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/HOM to learn more. ExpressVPN.com/HOM. Thanks for joining me on Hands on Mac. I'll be back next Friday. We're going to talk a little bit about fonts. In fact, I'm going to show you some hidden fonts built into Mac OS Catalina you can install for yourself. 12 of them. So we'll see you next Friday. Bye bye.
Be sure to check out the other shows on the network, like my other show, Hands on Wellness. I love to share different tips and tricks that's going to help you get a better grasp on your personal wellness. Just go to twit.tv/how and subscribe now.